Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. We are adjourned. No, wrong one. That's finishing. We are commencing as the Board of County Commissioners for a general discussion in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. We were on KJO Radio this morning, and now we get some more fun here. It's 11 a.m., and our first topic is, all three commissioners are also present. First item is archiving social media with John McCafferty.
Good morning, Commissioners.
And we also have Councilor Wally Hicks present.
Good morning.
So what we're asking the board to look at this morning is our current social media policy. The parts that are highlighted refer to responsibilities that are somewhere in the county for archiving content that's on social media, who's responsible for that, and meeting any public requests for that information. So if you look on Section E, the Compliance and Public Records Law part of the policy, it says the department maintaining the site shall be responsible for responding completely and accurately to any public record requests.
Oh, that's conflict with our other public record request laws.
Yes. So in addition to re-looking at our social media policy, it's not doable in the current policy. A department could not retrieve all public records pertaining to a social media site. If you were to post as a citizen on a site and deleted it 30 minutes later, the Parks Department or Animal Shelter or Public Health could not produce that deleted content. It disappears. What social archiving does, Archive Social does, is capture that content, no matter who enters it, where it's entered, or whether or not it's deleted. It also gives us what is called metadata, tells us where the information came from, what the username was, what was the date it was posted, that kind of thing. Why that's important? You could easily foresee that somebody who goes on to our social media site and thinks they contribute their right to, the First Amendment rights, and we delete them, and they could argue in court that we've stopped them from exercising their First Amendment rights, but if they have violated the policies of the social media site, bad language, content, we have a policy actually on what that content can be, then you can prove that you followed a policy and that there was a reason why they were deleted on the website. That case has actually happened in Portland.
Okay, we all carry around two phones. I have my personal phone and then I have a company phone. Is this company phone only, or can they capture my personal phone and say, like for instance, I'm talking with Travis Whitlock because he was on the ICEX games in Aspen, Colorado, and him and his dad and I were conversing back and forth on Facebook or whatever.
So the social media capture is only on our sites.
Okay.
And it's only all the content that contributes to that site.
Okay, but if I were to contact one of our sites from my personal phone, it would be
there.
That would be captured. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and so is that a contract company you're talking about, the social capture?
Archive Social is a company. What's kind of unusual about them is it's software as a service. It's a website.
Which means we don't control any of it locally. It's all in their servers, their cloud, all that kind of stuff.
Right. There's no contract to sign. We can quit whenever we want. Hmm. It's a set fee, $400 a month. It's non-negotiable. There's no contracts. There's no other way to get their service. So if we started it tomorrow, we would start paying $400 a month. And if we didn't like it come July, we would just stop paying and we'd be done.
Do they keep all of that information, though, that they've acquired so far? In other words, between now and July, we decide in July we don't want them. What happens to all the information they capture?
We never lose it. It's just data that's public that's out there anyway.
Okay.
I guess
it's just another.
And other cities and counties are probably doing this to protect themselves.
Everybody I know of in Oregon is either using Archive Social or another company called Smarsh. I haven't heard of anybody. It could be that Curry's not using it. I can check. But almost everybody I know is using it.
Right.
And what's driving this conversation is a review of our policy that we're actually not living up to our policy. We don't have the ability to live up to our policy right now.
So the policy needs to be updated, and the information needs to be archived.
That's our recommendation.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to start that type of action.
So somebody asks for public information, you send them to archive.
Or you guys can pull it.
It doesn't have to be us. It could be anybody the board wants to do that. We typically are involved in all email collections, LaserFish document collections. When we have a search, when the legal department asks for searches, typically us. But it doesn't have to be us. It could be the BCC. It could be legal.
Right. The regular citizen needs to have one point of contact, though, where they come in and ask instead of this different department's responding.
And our policy, right, as it states, is the board, right, is that they go to the board for social media contact. That's what it says right now.
And so you'd leave that in there when you change this?
Be up to you. I do have some ideas, and I'm talking to Commissioner Morgan about modifying the social media policy. I would make some suggestions, and then the board could change that if that's what you'd like to see.
Sounds good. Yes. Let's move that way.
Thank you for bringing this and continuing to be watching what we need to do.
Can you go ahead and sign us up, basically?
Tomorrow.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, everyone.
You have 53 minutes till noon to get it done.
Don't leave the village because I have some info for you.
Okay, I'll be around.
Questions and information.
Yes.
Okay. And I have one question, just a simple question, not timely.
Yep, okay.
Thanks.
I'll be around.
Write it down so you don't forget.
I wrote it right here.
Okay, so next on our agenda, general fund and internal service fund budget overview with Arthur O'Hara, our finance director.
Thank you, Arthur O'Hara, Finance Director. So I put together, if we have time for both, we can do both. If you don't want to do both, we can just do the one. But I want to do two things. First, I want to, and this is for the record, I guess, I want to go over the purpose of the fund. You know, why do we have a fund? And then go over the status of the fund. You know, are we high, low, good, bad, whatever. So for general fund, what I'd like to do is let you know a little bit of background, and it's unique to Josephine County, a couple of things that I'll say. So fund accounting, it's required. Why do we even bother with funds? Why do we do it the way we do it? It's because legally all municipalities are required to follow fund accounting. That's slide number two. On the two slides per page, so page one, slide two. Why are we doing it? Because we're required to do it. And the purpose behind fund accounting versus normal cash accounting that you might be used to is because fund accounting is focusing in on how we spent our money and whether we complied with the rules that govern the spending of the money. So it's more focused on accountability and compliance than on whether you made a profit or not. So, on slide number three.
If you leave it in a fund, it's not considered profit. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Well, because at the end of year in business, if you had a savings account, you had to have funded that savings account out of profit.
Right.
And you would have to declare that, and they just come and take whatever they want to back out of it.
Technically, profit is a result of expense. So you can't make money unless you spend money. I mean, you spend money to produce widgets or to get the raw material in order to produce it, and then you sell the widgets and you get revenue. Our government is not like that. We get our property tax, we get our franchise fees, we get our money comes in whether we do a good job or not. Regardless of how much we spend or where we focus our spending, doesn't affect how much property tax gets paid or how much, I mean, in a one-for-one, you know, effort result. So it's not profit in the government. But the principle is the same. We get in more money than we send out. That's fund balance. That's savings.
Okay, so that's what I mean. You're changing. It's semantics. It's fund
semantics,
balance, not profit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I'm okay with that. Right. That's what I was asking. If you put it into a fund,
yes,
then it is going to be used for the purpose of the fund.
And that's what we have to account for according to the law. We have to show. We have to keep our books on fund accounting basis. We have to prepare our reports on fund accounting basis. And the focus of that, as we can see in slide 3 and 4, is how we spend our money and did we comply with the constraints and budgetary requirements. So
I understand that we need to, but it also adds confusion to when you have multiple funds in a department and trying to look at a department about where their funds are and where mm-hmm. they're being spent. It's not always straight together with it. We saw that with the sheriff's budget the other day where he had two different funds he was talking about, and it's like,
right.
Okay, which one is going towards what?
Well, sheriff has three different operating funds plus a couple of trust funds.
I'm just saying that as it is legal, it also can be confusing. So mm-hmm. when we get to budget season, okay, are we doing the sheriff's budget and we're looking at all five funds, or are we looking at just these funds and that fund? And that's something that I've struggled with since being here, and the level of detail in those funds is not very descriptive.
So looking at slide number 5, you'll see that
they're not numbered, by the way, so we have to either count what page we're on.
Page 3, first slide. So what is a fund? And I think that addresses where you were coming from, too. A fund is a standalone entity. It's the balance sheet, the revenue, profits. It's the whole package there, standalone, silo, autonomous. What is a fund? It carries the cash and the assets and the liabilities. So that's each fund that we're talking about. Budget law requires us to balance by fund. That means all the money coming in and the resources available have to equal all the money going out, the requirements of the fund. That includes beginning balance plus revenues have to equal ending balance plus expenses. So it has to balance. It has to be a complete. You have to account for every dollar coming in.
So we can't go trillions of dollars in debt?
No, you cannot.
But you have the ending fund balance in the general fund.
Correct.
It's not allocated anywhere.
Correct.
So it just becomes a beginning balance, and that's the loose cannon.
The next year.
Because it says adopted budget is a balance by fund, which means that the budgeted requirements, expenditures, and ending fund balance are equal to the resources.
Yes.
Beginning fund balance.
So you have to account for every dollar is what you're doing. You identify every dollar coming in and available, and you identify every dollar going out or what remains would be ending fund balance.
Okay.
So that's the idea behind fund accounting. So on page 4, I say here are the types of funds available. Those are identified in the law and through the budget law. We have general fund, special revenue, capital project, debt service, internal service, enterprise, trust. We have all those funds here in the county. I will talk about some of the other funds later. I'll talk about the internal service fund today, perhaps, and then some of the other ones later on in the coming weeks. Today we're going to look at general fund. So if you look at page 4, general fund is basically, if you cannot identify one of the other specific funds, it goes in the general fund. So if you can't identify it as a special revenue or a debt service or a trust or one of those other funds, it has to go in the general fund. And the little picture of catch-all, that's your kitchen drawer, that basically says if you can't find another place for something, you throw it in that drawer. And that's where all the things go in. On page 5, you'll see that currently we have 11 programs in the general fund. And I list them there: assessor, clerk, treasurer, surveyor, Board of County Commissioners, veterans, general government, although that's not a program, that's more of a county-wide cost center to capture some of the expenses that basically under board purview, but
another catch-all.
County-wide. Yeah, it's like the AOC. You know, is that really a board expense or is it more of a countywide expense? Well, we consider it countywide, so we put it into general government. What we're trying to do is keep the Board of County Commissioners budget focused in on what your operations are. What it takes to operate
the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah, for just the Board of County Commissioners.
Don't add a bunch of stuff in.
Right, right. So general government kind of captures a lot of those dues and subscriptions that are...
Now, our travel,
yes,
and whatnot, that going back and forth to AOC, which is general government,
mm-hmm,
but it still falls under the Board of County Commissioners because that's where it's paid out of?
I think your travel is under general government, and it's right, specifically because you're acting on behalf of the county, not what it takes to run your office, not the staff that's running your office, mm, or the, you know, the square footage for your office and that kind of thing. It's a little bit of maybe semantics, a little bit, you know, whether it should go one place or the other, but that's what we're doing
somewhere
now.
Yeah.
Court facilities, that's what facilities Ryan's group charges for the court, and we pay for that. That's statutory. Emergency management, forestry, and then community development planning are the 11 programs in the general fund. The second slide on page 5 says programs not in the general fund. Sheriff, district attorney, juvenile justice, adult, corrections, public health, mental health, fairgrounds, parks, court security, those all used to be in the general fund. We used to have all of those first so many programs as part of our general fund here in the county. Back in 2004, 2005, we started spinning them off into their own separate funds because we recognized that we were going to run out of SRS money, going to run out of federal timber money, and we were told a lot of the programs, you have to live on your own fees, you have to live on your own charges, you have to live on your own income. Fairgrounds, parks, public health. Now we supplement some programs still, the sheriff's office, patrol, we send a big chunk of money to them. Public health, $150,000, I think, this last year, maybe $165,000. So we still supplement, so even though we spun them off into their own funds, we still supplement some of those programs with general fund money, but the principle is there that you're no longer part of the general fund, it's no longer a blank checkbook. It's you have to live within the grants and contract funds and fees that you charge. You have to live within those. People, programs who can't, who don't generate enough fees, who don't generate enough income on their own, well, they're in the general fund. So treasurer, they don't generate a lot of income. Surveyor, clerk, you know, they planning, they're dependent on general fund. So you can see there's a bunch of others that are not part of the general fund. So page 6, this is I've got more detail that we'll come over and look at in just a minute, but just in a general sense, I wanted to show you back in 2004-05, our general fund budget was over $34 million. This current year, 18-19, our general fund budget is $18.9 million. It reflects how much we've moved programs out of the general fund, put them on their own. It just gives a little bit of a...
It doesn't reflect how much money comes in. We've had to do that. The 18.9 versus 34
right,
is what's coming into the general fund because we don't have SRS.
Right.
We don't have timber receipts. We don't have a lot of things we used to have.
Right, right.
So that, you know, the fact that they hadn't, it wasn't that, yeah, this, because we've moved those people out, we had to move them out because it wouldn't balance.
Our revenues were going down and we didn't have enough
exactly
to cover everybody.
So this is this is our revenue coming in from outside sources.
And it used to be less than that. 18.9 is what we currently have. I believe 4 or 5 years ago we were more in the...
12.
Yeah, 11.6, 7, something like that. So it was quite low.
So it's more a reflection of pulling out those different
yes
ones we talked about on the last page.
True.
Than it is just less in the general fund.
Well, I've got a slide that addresses that, just a couple of slides.
Both.
Yeah,
so
both.
When I got hired as a parole and probation officer in December 2005, that year's budget was $1 million from the general fund to community corrections. At the time, I think we were community justice. And they took there today, there's zero from the general fund into community corrections. It was a year or two later they went to zero. And so we used to also help provide funding for these programs, and we stopped. Yes. So it being less is twofold, that funds were moved out and were not also providing towards.
Collecting.
Library, I forgot to mention, library used to be part of the general fund. And off they went, and as you know, they closed down for 18 months when they ran out of fees. So on page 6, the general fund revenue, this is just a little pie chart. You can see where the money, the current budget money, the $18.9 million, is broken up this way. We have a fairly healthy beginning balance of 33%, property taxes 23%, timber sales 17%. Program revenues, that's money coming in for planning fees, you know, what the clerk charges for passports, those kinds of fees coming in 12%, and then I've got fees and other taxes, so that would be like our franchise fee and our OLCC fee and our cigarette tax and non-property tax.
Lodging
stuff.
In that? Lodging tax if we had one?
If we had one, it would be,
fees and others?
Yep, sales tax for your marijuana is in there, so that's the 14%. So that just gives you kind of a generic sense of what's happening. On page 7, general fund expense, primarily for the expenses of operating all the programs that are in there. And then the second slide on page 7 is what's addressing Commissioner Fowler, your point here. I took 7 of the general fund programs that we had back in 04 and 05 and are comparing them to where they're at today.
Okay.
So the graph is a little bit small, but you can see that in 04, 05, those 7 funds, which are surveyor, court security, courts, treasurer, clerk, forestry, assessor, and planning. Very clear, those little acronyms there. So, but those are 7 programs that were in 0405 that are still in the general fund today in 1819. So those 7 programs, and you can see that their budget back in 0405 was $5.5 million. Their budget today is 4.7. So they're 14.5% in actual dollars less money going to those programs. If you do any kind of inflationary, you know, from 0405 to today, that would be even more.
So it's courts or court security?
It's courts.
Okay, so to me that should be taken out because the courts are not even a county.
Well, we spend money.
Department.
Yeah, but we spend money on that.
On court security or court maintenance? What are we spending money on for the courts?
That's court facilities, I think we call it nowadays. And that's the square footage that the courts occupy at the 70 cent per foot that facilities charges.
It's a rent.
Yeah, it's a rent, but we pay it.
We pay the rent in exchange for them providing the courts. Was the exchange the state made when they took county courts away?
Right.
When they created the circuit court system?
Yeah.
We give them a credit.
Well, we pay the rent for them. We could just tell Ryan to suck it up. And is that being recorded? We could just tell him, hey, you just don't get the revenue. But what we've decided is that, no, facilities really does. I mean, they have utilities that they pay. They have maintenance that they pay, custodial. So general fund pays facilities that whatever the square footage rate is for what the court occupies.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what that number, right? And then you can see in the budgeted FTE that in 04-05, everybody had 47 FTE, and 18-19, there's 41 FTE. So a 13% reduction. We still have, the standard statement is you're still operating at minimal service levels. That's what we've told our assessor, our clerk, our, you know, our internal funds. You're operating at minimal service levels. Service level 1, you know, not increased.
We're not at service level 1, though. We're 10% below service level 1, are we not?
True. I suppose you could say that. Yeah, we went to service level 1, and then in 11-12, I
think.
Did
you define service level 1 for Commissioner Fowler?
No. That's minimum service level. It's what it takes to provide minimum legally required
Right, as determined by the...
And we're 10% below.
As determined by the director. So right. So it's not defined in statute what is minimum certain. So there's a little bit of discretion that can be exercised.
I think that's arbitrary. You can do anything as to what the minimum service is.
Right, it's, right.
Right.
Like I said...
But it's been debated over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And then, the level for some people is fully funded. And I get everything I want, and that's the service level. I'm way below that.
Well,
but, you know, reality sets in at some point in time to say...
And that's what we did. We had to have reality. Yeah. We reduced everybody. And then, as Commissioner Morgan pointed out, a couple years later, we said, remember service level one? Cut 10% off that.
And, so, for instance, I brought up the assessors yesterday in the meeting. And is it CAFR grant?
CAFR, yeah.
We didn't get the full amount of CAFR from the state, which is a matching grant, because of how little we're putting into the fund. If we put a little more, we would have got more from the CAFR grant.
Yeah.
And Connie has said she's two assessors shy of what she needs to get the job done.
Right.
And so it's not, service level one is not accurate. It's 10% below service one.
And there's some metrics or that you can look at. And I think those would be good questions for department directors to say, you know, what are your program statistics? What are your measurement for? Can you provide? Yes.
Chair recognizes.
I'm not going to recognize you. Just talk.
Okay. Well, we had a presentation up at AOC, and the state's answer for that was to cut the discount for property taxes to businesses.
Well, that's their way of trying to find their
funding. That was their way. So that's their answer. Instead of saying, I would have gone to the assessors and said, if you're behind on your assessing, what are you going to do to bring that up to snuff? What do you need, and how are you going to get there? And if they say, we're working just as hard as we possibly can, just say, show me your deliverables. How many of these properties are you assessing every year, and what's your workload? And if they say, well, we didn't get around to doing any of them last year, then I'm going to ask, what are you doing? So you know, when they say, oh, we need those assessors to do that, at what point in time, okay, we've got the assessors on board and they have the assessed value went from here to here, does that cover it and we get to give the 3% discount back to the businesses again at some point in time? There was none of that. Once that 1% went away, it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
And the business people pay the freight anyway, and then pay the wages. And to 1%, maybe to them, to the state, well, it's only 1%. But, boy, you're hitting the people that you want to stay here and stay in business here. I can't imagine what that 1% assessment is on, like, Nike or Fire Mountain Gems or Diamond Cabinets or whatever it is.
Craftcraft
or anybody. That's huge, and that's businesses that you want to retain. And you've got all this business retention and expansion. And then the state comes by and knocks a percent off of their deal. That's huge.
Yeah.
I think there's also, you know, you have to take in consideration, like assessor, what does it take to assess in an urban setting like Portland City or Eugene or whatever, versus what does it take to assess in a rural setting where you've got miles between, locations. Mm-hmm. So it may take more people to do the same absolute number of homes.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, yeah. So they could use probably a couple more. But
I don't know where there are. I have never seen it. I guess I could go down and ask Connie. Just say how much has our assessed value gone up, other than the 3%,
right?
Because that's easy to go divide it by 0.7, and it went up.
Right.
But that you've actually gone out and reassessed a person's home. I had an assessor come to my place on Beverly Drive a long, long time ago, and he pulled up out front, and I was out front doing something, and I was out in the street, so he didn't know I even owned the house. And I said, yeah, what's up? And he goes, I'm the county tax assessor. I'm here to reevaluate that house right there. And I said, oh, really? Taxes going up or down? He goes, well, you know they don't ever go down. And he says, but I don't know, that house right here right now, I've never been able to see that house, so I don't know. It's assessed. And I said, well, come on in. It's my house. So we went in and walked through, and because the owner, who is a contractor, would not have let that assessment go through, they had to assume the worst. Assumption, they're allowed to do that. And by the time we walked through the whole place, I saved money. He's no heat laid fireplaces? No, it's all show, no go. Garage is all sheetrock? No, it's not. It's bare stud.
Right.
And
right.
We went through the whole thing, and you know, I had put a heat pump system in there, but he looked and he says, oh, you still have ceiling cable heat. Yes, I did still have ceiling cable
wow.
heat. But he completely ignored the heating system that I had put in. But I didn't, you know, it wasn't a mistruth, because I left the cable heat in all the bedrooms for in case the heat pump quit, which it did. And so my bill went down, but I didn't know how many actual.
Well, I know Connie. I've heard Connie say, or you know, Connie Roach, our assessor, is that you know, the normal, you try to go through all your inventory once every 6 years or seven years, and that
it's
we're
a 7 year rotation.
Yeah, 7 year rotation. But we are actually on a. Do you remember it was 18 years?
That's right.
If not more.
Right.
Like that.
They only assess properties that get a permit, which actually has a reverse effect on encouraging people to get permits because they know their taxes.
People, that is a
so.
There's a stipulation in state law that allows if an assessor finds the value to be a major remodel or something, and they assess at the new level, they can assess back taxes to 6 years. So that goes to that 7 year cycle.
That would be.
So if people are on, and that's what they're saying is they would have caught it in the 7 year cycle, so they can back tax 6 years. And.
Golly.
Yeah.
Well, so I think what we see here is that the budgets of the general fund, and for that matter, most of the other funds that have any kind of restrictions on them, they. Are at operating, hopefully the idea is they're operating at a minimal level, you know, providing at least minimal level of services to the citizens. So
now going back to what Commissioner Morgan said, they can go back 6 years, but they don't have to, correct?
They do. They don't,
can, but they don't have to.
It's the
is it policy
law,
or is it?
They can go back to 6 years and.
So the guy comes out and finds something that he didn't know was on my assessment.
I don't
it's
know.
Not my fault that he doesn't know it's on my assessment. Maybe it was there all along when I bought the house, so now they're going to go back 6 years because the guy before me didn't permit putting in that
heat job
system.
Or something.
Yeah.
So I
don't know the process of what our office does downstairs. I just know that state law. This is one of the items I testified on 2 years ago, and that's how I learned about it, that they can do this. So.
Well, and let me ask a follow-up on service level 1, minus 10%. What's the scale? Is it level 5? Is the Cadillac version?
Good question.
The way we did it back in the day, we knew we were facing cuts. We knew our revenues were down. We knew where we were in. We had to cut our budget. So
service level 1 is the only level?
Service level 2, and service level 2 was current services. What it takes to maintain current service level 1 is minimal service. What is legally minimally required? Minimally required legal, and we still comply with legal. That was the distinction between 1 and 2. Surprise, surprise, we actually approved the budget at service level 1. We didn't give people service level 2. Now, when I say that, you've got to also realize that some programs are on their own now. So like Public Works is a prime example. They live within the revenues. They live within what they
get. Parks.
Or parks now. We used to, parks was, had problems. Parks was negative for a few years. So was fairgrounds. So was public health. So we supplemented parks for a little bit of a transition period there to help them get their fees back in on track to help cover all their expenses. So on page 8, just to wrap it up, general fund transfers, not only do you have your programs in the general fund that cost money, but we do send money, and we'll see that when we look at the actual source, the status of the general fund. We'll see that the largest of the transfers goes to the law enforcement fund, which is a sheriff patrol, a district attorney, and the juvenile shelter program. That's a law enforcement fund. So if you have questions on that, you know, feel free to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to go over some of those details again. So the last page is hopefully somewhat familiar. This is the format we use for our budget resource requirements page. It is reflective of the LB1 form, which is local budget law, a required form. So you've got several years of prior actuals, prior budget, and then on the far right-hand side, you'll see what we adopted for the current year budget, the 18-19 budget. You'll see through December 31st, the first 6 months, and then that same number as a percentage compared to actual budget.
Why are our property taxes so far down? Is that how much hasn't been collected? $300,000 is pretty significant since it was due in November.
For property tax current year at 94%. Yeah, that's the three. If people break it into three pieces, they pay, you know, maybe one third in November, one third in February, one third in May. So that reflects that. We've got a separate line for prior year taxes, of course. So, and those are people who don't make that payment in May. Couple of things maybe just to point out. Some of these are cyclical, like your marijuana tax is the fifth line down and show it's 23%. Well, that's because the state is behind and giving us the second quarter payment. We'll probably get that sometime in February. So we're at 23% for our 17% marijuana. Assessor is a little bit down, but I figure they'll pick up as activity picks up. They also, the CAFA grant is we haven't received that yet for the year.
So where are we? $100,000 off on veterans.
Where are we at? Veterans. That's their grant. They haven't got their quarterly, you know, for second quarter. So
and it'll be the difference.
Yeah. Well, they're at 25% right now. They'll get the other 25% probably. Again, February, ODVA gives them the quarterly grant.
They've
money.
Only got 25%, so
right.
Are we a quarter behind? Because you're talking mid-year, so we should have six months.
We're past mid-year.
But they haven't, the state didn't disperse last quarters, and they won't disperse it until the end of this, or somewhere in this quarter.
So the
quarter.
State's less behind.
Shutdown?
Right, yeah, correct.
Did the shutdown
happen? I don't think it was a shutdown. I don't think so. I think it's the normal timing.
This is Oregon media.
A lot of times what you'll see is in our quarterly reimbursements or quarterly funding, we don't get it till the quarter following the quarter that they're funding.
And what revenue does the county commissioners expect at $2,000? That's curious.
I think that's mostly ANB.
Okay.
The
ambassador
reservations. Yeah, money. It's a placeholder for lack of anything else, but we try to account for everything.
But it's so far we have collected nothing from the ambassador.
Nada. Generous souls. If you waive the fee, you know.
We don't have a lot of applications pending.
Yeah,
we have one that we just
approved. Recently, yeah.
But there hasn't been a lot of applications. So I should say, though, that the payment in lieu of tax, I told you guys last week or the week before, that's currently in whatever department that is.
Those forms and everything that the courier and chamber did in the ambassador was free?
I think what they are.
A lot of times for your...
we're members of the chamber.
Elections.
Right,
partnership.
And newspapers, you know, because they're public.
They're so
freedom
public.
Of the press.
Okay. It just surprises me because it seems to me that people come to us for a request and we go, no, we'll cut it in half, but we're not giving the thing away. And I remember that conversation. Maybe that was last year.
Yeah.
In last year's budget, not this year's budget. I can't say exactly, but...
It's possible we've got it in, we put it in miscellaneous rather than, no, I don't have anything in miscellaneous.
So
never mind that.
So franchise fees.
Yes.
That's charter and who owns?
Charter. That's our franchise fee.
So why is it zero?
Is it Southern Oregon Sanitation?
They haven't paid yet. They only pay once a year.
Doesn't SOS pay a franchise fee at all?
I think that's under the solid waste. We call that the solid waste fee, not the
What about
the
like natural
fee.
Gas, Vista?
None of them.
I don't think so.
Or CenturyLink?
Yeah, CenturyLink, we get the PEG fee from them, and they also give us, let's see, where is that? So obviously going to be franchise, OLCC, other taxes. Who's the
CenturyLink
RBTV? Charter, that's what I was thinking. I'm sorry. Yeah, Charter is the provider that we get our money from, not CenturyLink. So Charter.
But they still have stuff running down through the right-of-way. We just don't charge them?
I guess not. I don't know. I'm not sure what the deal
is. Because Hunter has stuff running, too.
Yeah, we don't.
All that fiber optic?
Yeah, we don't have anything from Hunter. They don't pay.
So is that missing money we should consider going after?
I don't know if there's a utility easement on county roads.
I don't know. I'm asking.
What the franchise fee in the city is there's utility easement on all city streets. But
the charter we split with
the city. We have a contract with...
If it's ours versus theirs.
Yeah, we have a contract with Charter, but Century...
Can we go back 6 years on those two?
Century Link.
You saw what happened to Charter last time we went back.
There's a settlement with Charter right now.
Yeah.
Ask Wally about sometime.
Okay.
So we do have the solid waste for your garbage collection. The cigarette and amusement, that's coming from the state. Your franchise is just your charter franchise fee. And then we get some the alcohol... OLCC.
Why haven't we're half, past half a year? Do they, the charter only pay the franchise fee once a year?
Once a year, yeah. They give us one check. Okay. Amusement device, that's, again, they pay once a year, but the reason it's negative is we accrued more than what they actually paid us last year. So it just a timing with the accounting of that.
On
the amusement.
I'm looking at other taxes.
Oh, other taxes.
Private rail and forest rehab.
Yeah, isn't that
great? We don't have anything adopted. However, we've received
$83,000. Right.
Where'd that come from?
That was that Linn County lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
For the forest.
That's just a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Well, we got a little bit of money for...
Nothing in the adopted because it wasn't expected.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And we do get a little bit of money... And it's something about within so many hundreds of feet of the railroad, they pay money to us. So you see, we got a few thousand dollars in years gone by, and that's that Western Oregon Transit or the private rail. It's some arcane payment that we get. I'd have to look to get some details on how that
works.
We're
not done with the Linn County lawsuit yet.
But we got a big chunk. We got a big chunk last this current year of money from them for the forest rehab.
Okay.
That's the state.
That's different than the Linn County lawsuit.
Isn't the Linn County lawsuit about the state of forest lands that the state is managing?
It's different than... It's still in process. There is no settlements. There's no payouts. If you're getting money, it's not because of the lawsuit.
That's the way I took it. It was
it's definitely
connected
not.
To the Linn County. I'll look it up, but that's a description that I understand went with that money.
We can ask Wally for an update, but we are most definitely still in play in that lawsuit.
It's the forestry money that state... was managing for us.
So we get a portion for what they cut on state lands.
Right. Well, we were getting just minimal amounts in years
gone by.
We
will, because it's not like ONC where ONC, no matter where the trees are cut, we get our 12%. With Oregon State Forest Trust lands, we only get a portion when they cut on the lands in our county.
And we have 6,000 acres, something like that, under the state that we gave to the state way back when.
7,200 right there.
72?
It could be wrong, but I'm trying to read it from across the room, so we'll see. But
I thought I remembered like 60.
Tillamook and Clatsop counties get the most. They 90% of their forests are state, and so they get millions of dollars from the state a year, where we get thousands.
I'll confirm that, but that 80 some thousand was
I'm just curious,
something connected with.
But you have
with
to harvest it to get it. And we're not harvesting on our state lands because every time we try to harvest on our state lands, we've got a batch of people that just can't stand to hear a chainsaw run.
So the state is taking the easy route, which is to focus on Clatsop and Tillamook because their entire forests are state, so they can take it in the patch.
So they want.
We have talked about there was a bill last year or the year before from Representative Wilson to see if it's less than 10% of portfolio, they would maybe give the lands back to the counties. and that hasn't happened yet. But it would be worth asking Wally to put on an agenda an update on that lawsuit. Or even lawsuits in general.
Have maybe an executive
session for lawsuit updates and where we're at with
Wally. I might have confused the two.
Mm-hmm.
I might have confused the two then and got it wrong on the description. The other side of the page, you'll see that this was the resource side. The other side of the page is the requirement side. And you'll notice that they both balance. They both equal 18,900.
Can you say that again? What's the difference in the two charts?
One is the resource side. That's the money coming in. That's what we just went through.
Right.
And it equals 18.9 million. And then on the other side is the requirements, which will be the disbursements and ending fund balance. And you'll see that that also equals 18.93 million as at the bottom of the adopted budget column. So where we're at as far as the various departments are concerned, really nothing way out of line. There's a couple of them there. You'll see general government about halfway down that first group is at 71%. Looking that up, that's basically your dues and that you pay up front. They're just front-loaded on that.
You don't have much more coming into that.
Right.
Going out of that.
Correct. Right. Not the big ones like that. I looked at emergency management also because it was kind of low at 34%, but that's just the grant itself. I think we hired Emily in October-ish, and so they're just under. They haven't spent what they had available. I don't think there's anything.
This snapshot is at the end of the year.
6 months. This is a 6 month snapshot. Okay. So right. This is the current budget for July 1, 18 through June 30, 2019. So our current year in 6 months. So everything should be 50% if timing was
ideal.
Yeah. So you can just see whether they're kind of in that general vicinity or whether they're out of line. But everybody, as far as I can tell, is pretty much in line with where they ought to be. Those couple of exceptions there, as far as the, general government.
Equipment reserve for the surveyor, he's right at the max right now.
Yeah,
does he get that replenished to $15,000 next year?
No, they actually bought a copier for Max.
Right.
And so that's what that 15 represents, is that specific budget item that he submitted in his budget and, went through the budget process, was approved. Yeah, we need a new map copier, and it's $15,000. Fairly good copier there that they bought. So they won't get it next year. It'll be...
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, when we have equipment reserved, like for the clerk, $1,200, what we've started doing is that if a department needs a copier, we buy it. Rather than renting it or leasing it, we buy it, and then we'll charge the department over time. Right. If they don't have the resources to buy it up front, Public Works, you buy your own. You've got money. But clerk and some of the other ones, if they're a little bit tight on operating cash.
But like this copier now, do we have a policy going forward to do replacement funding for that, to charge them for, so that in 15 years when we need to buy a new one, the money would be there? Or are we not at a place where we can have a policy like
that? As far as for the surveyor specifically on that one, no. We're not capturing any kind of... depreciation or amortization on that. We just made them, they buy it up front, and then we'll...
Right, it comes out of the general fund.
Comes out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. The clerk and the other, looks like planning, that $3,000, they had a copy machine or two. There is a small 1% charge that we're putting on there so that we can replenish the fund for those specific copiers that we're financing through the property reserve fund. But the clerk would...
So you borrow the money out of the property reserve fund and pay it back with...
And then pay it back
charge.
With a little bit extra just to kind of make...
Unfollow.
So that's a status Forestry Reserve, I do want to point out, and I'll go over the reserve funds in a couple days. The Forestry Reserve, 100% of forestry money comes into the general fund. 100%. So whatever they sell, whatever contract revenues we get in, deposited to the general fund, we give forestry whatever they need to run their program. You know, their reforestations, their staffing, their whatever they need. Any excess money gets transferred over to the Forestry Reserve. Theoretically, if they did not get any money this year, we would still be spending $1 million on forestry for staffing and reforestation. We transfer money back from Forestry Reserve to General Fund to cover the difference. So the Forestry Reserve can work both ways. Ideally, forestry gets in way more money than what they spend and will continue to fund the reserve and use those funds for their designated
purpose.
When
they sell the trees off county land, does it go into this fund or does it go into general fund?
It goes into general fund.
Just general?
Okay. Yes.
Not the forestry one?
Nope. Okay. Forestry, the only funding for forestry reserve is a transfer from the general fund. We wanted to keep it that way so that we always had one place we can look to see what's happening with forestry, you know. What are they spending? What are they bringing in? What are they selling? So,
accounting.
We're making sure they're accountable for their
amazing. That's
their complying with. So, if your game for the ISF, it's much shorter. It's not going to be 15-20 minutes. It's a quicker review. And here's one for
ISF is Internal Service Fund.
Yes.
Internal Service.
So. This is the internal service funds, and this is all basically administrative overhead. I'll go through the slides here. I have a slide on page one that says what is the indirect cost, and it's basically those costs that cannot be specifically allocated to a specific project or program. So legal, you know, finance, computers, technology, human resources.
That everybody uses.
It's just overhead, administrative overhead. You know, in a profit-making business, it's your administrative overhead.
Right.
I think Trish needs a copy there.
Sorry.
So it's just administrative overhead. I give you a few samples of that on page two. A lot of times we've had to address the issue of you guys just, you know, take 10% right off the top. Why do you do that? Why isn't it, you know, allocated in a more specific manner to each and every individual program? My answer is we used to do that. We used to count the number of computers you had. We used to count the number of checks that you cut. We used to count the number of transactions that you processed. And what we found out that if you have a larger payroll that you tend to use human resources more frequently than those who have a smaller payroll, or we cut more checks for you out of the, you know, for our payroll system because you have a larger materials and supplies budget, you buy a lot more things. There's more transactions. You have more computers, you know, more people, more computers. So we eliminated all that detail, that complexity, and that's what the first slide on page two is trying to say. We eliminated all that complexity and said, let's keep it simple, let's keep it straightforward, make it based on budget, and that's what the second slide on page two says. We just have a fairly and expeditious way to allocate a proportion of the administrative overhead to all the programs.
And you can go, because I've having been in business, I could nitpick paper clips and pencils, you know, that the sheet metal shop used two boxes of paper clips in that year, and you didn't in the service department, so therefore, and you'll scratch your head forever.
Yeah.
And it's only a snapshot of that box of paper clips. It doesn't give you the overhaul thing. You end up being so bogged down with detail, you really miss the big stuff.
It's that cost-benefit, you know, how much do you want to spend on
nothing
costs?
There. In order 10% to, covers it, let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
And sure, on some years it might drift over a little bit, some years it might drift under it, but that doesn't mean everybody's got a tax refund.
And so the other piece on page two, that second slide, in order to recover its allowable indirect cost, we charge the same rate to everybody. And the reason we do that, one of the main reasons we do that, well, it's fair, but one of the main reasons we do that is typically your federal grants and even your state grants will say whatever the lowest indirect cost you charge to any program, you will give this grant the same rate.
Wow.
So if we try to give a good deal to the DA because he's, you know, does such a great job, well, then whatever that rate is, whatever the lowest rate is that we have, that we charge, we have to give federal grants and federal contracts that same rate. Well, we're not going to do that. So everybody gets charged the same rate across the board. And I'll go into the methodology here, as a matter of fact, down the next slide, page three. The methodology, it can vary year by year. So we take what our ISF budgets are, how much do we need for human resources, for finance, for information technology, for legal. We allocate that as a percentage over the base, which is all the other operating departments, general fund, public works fund, adult corrections, parks, fairgrounds. We allocate that over their base, and then we come up with a percentage. The current percent is 8. We've been as low as 7.5. We've been as high as 10. So it can vary based on the on how big of a budget we have.
We went to 8 year before last. We took,
yeah.
Didn't we take the board out of ISF?
Yes. Yes. So that reduced our demand.
Reduced ISF during the levy process. That was one of the things that was in the levy that ISF would go down.
So it'll 10%. Be interesting this year, this budget process, to see where ISF lands. I mean, I'm thinking it might be less than 8. So we'll have to talk about that when we get there. So
but we need to be cautious and say, okay, it's less than 8 right now in this one budget year.
Right, right. Next year
we can have a carryover in the ISF, can't we?
Well, yes and no. The internal service funds, there's rules that say you cannot make a profit.
Right.
You cannot charge more than what you need to provide the service. So there's a reasonableness there. Yeah, we can have a carryover that's reasonable. We can't build up a fund.
We can't build up a huge fund without lowering the thing. But I would hesitate on 1 year to say, okay, it dropped from 8 to 7.5, so it's going to be 7.5 next year.
Right.
And then anything grants we get, we got to charge them 7.5.
And we have needs, too. I mean, theoretically, when Justice Building vacates, when Grants Pass PD vacates Justice Building, you know, a lot of our administrative services potentially could move over there. So we're going to need some funding and we've used ISF to a certain extent to move money over to the property reserve in order to try to accumulate funds in the reserve to pay for that move and that remodel that needs to happen over there. So the next, on page three, the next slide, it just gives you a breakdown of who is in ISF and how much of the fund they require. So finance is 22% of the cost of ISF. Information technology, 40%. GIS, they're self-supporting, so they money in, money out. They don't they do direct charges. Human resources, 13. Legal counsel, 22. Law library is self-supporting. They have to live within their state funding. Property management, 3%. Communications and Board of County Commissioners used to be part of the Internal Service Fund. Now they've moved communications over to Ryan and Facilities, and Board of Commissioners to General Fund. And that is it for the background on ISF. And the next page is some of the same things.
Can you speak to the contingency fund requirements?
It's on the reserve requirements?
No, the contingency fund level is the last item on this page.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so you'll see that we, as I said before, you have to balance. So everything coming in and everything going out has to equal the same number, in this case 4.616. Contingency is going to be the balancing factor. You know, money you spend you know, you have to... The
so you're saying we got in $260,000 more than we were expecting, and thus why the contingency is more, or did we spend $260,000 more than our contingency, and that's why it's at 188%?
No, this is saying we've got money, more money than what we have
allocated.
Okay, so
we grew the contingency fund because we had more money come in than we expected.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding. It's not that we overspent, it's that we over-received.
Right.
Okay.
And part of the reason
stays
we don't...
Stays in the contingency, but when does that contingency get wiped out?
In the formula, what we would do is we would say, how much do we need? What's our budget for HR and finance and information technology? What's our budget? And we would offset it with any revenues coming in. So that would include the beginning fund balance and whatever revenues we might anticipate coming in, which we get money from a little bit of mental health money to administer the mental health grants, different sources, not much. So we would offset our costs with revenues coming in, and whatever that net difference is, you allocate across the base. So that contingency would go away. For example, if by chance next year we said, hey, we only need 7.5%. So we'd be bringing in current revenue less than what we would be spending in current expenditures. And the difference would be that fund balance that we'd be spending down.
Spending out of it.
Yeah, spending out of the fund balance.
So,
we've got some... ISF is setting pretty healthy, put it that way.
Okay.
I think, as you pointed out, we're sitting pretty healthy.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that we made a commitment with the levy 2 years ago.
Yes.
That no money from the levy would come to the commissioners. That's
yes.
why we moved us into the general fund.
Correct.
At the same time, our commissioners are more actively involved in some levels, and there's some greater expenses because of travel and some different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and of the lawsuits and different stuff, just wanting to make sure that we're covering what we're covering. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's important for us to have our finger on this pulse because...
And not exposed in that regard either. So yeah, we can say in the next levy period if it happens.
Yeah.
We did
yeah.
what we said we would.
Did what you said you'd do, and, mm-hmm. and you certainly have. And that's good. So, and I think also last year, remember that this budget was prepared in March of 2018, right? Yeah, 2018. So at that point in time, I believe there was still some debate as to whether we would have any kind of a administrative coordinator or administrative. So we left the ISF rate a little bit high in order to accommodate that if it occurred, knowing that you know, if we did get it high, that we would just, you know, work that into the next formula the next year and either reduce the rate or we would look at that and say, you know what, we have money that, again, we can set aside to help offset the cost of relocating administrative services if, you know, when that happens. Let's see. So I don't think I had anything that we weren't spending out of line or anything, and the numbers are fairly small on everything. So property management has made some good sales, and so they're above what we had budgeted. Law Library gets their money from DOJ, so they're getting more money than what... well, they shouldn't be getting more money. DOJ sends us money for Law Library and mediation. I don't know. I'll have to look at that one. Yeah, it seems like they... I think it's...
What's your question? What are you questioning?
I'm questioning why we have 100% Law Library funding.
Because we made it a full-time position versus a part-time position, so it's not fully funded.
Okay. It's not a big number, but it's the percentage.
Were you not a part of when we restructured legal to
yes.
cover all that?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay. Are the statements in your pamphlet still accurate?
I
it was funded at 50%. Is it now funded at 100%? Okay.
Yes, it is.
So yes, it's funded by the state at 100% full-time, so that's why it's probably bigger than when we budgeted, because we changed the structure of that department.
Good old Wally.
Good thing he walked in the room when he did.
Just so you know, the walls are talking.
All right, I'm gonna stop. So if this was good, if you like the format, if you like the approach, if you like the look, I'll do it again. And I was thinking next Thursday, this coming?
We'll work out the schedule. Okay. I just want to make sure that we have time for it. Today we only had an hour before the lunch hour.
Yep, we're done.
Unless you guys have other stuff going on at 1 o'clock, I want to make sure that we're mindful of the time on that. So I appreciate the intent to get through things. If we need to look at the detail more thoroughly, I would say ask.
Yeah, please. Feel free. Whatever comes to your mind.
There was a push a couple years ago to cut IT greatly and outsource most of IT's function. I don't agree with that philosophy. And we utilize them even greater and greater each day, especially with us taking back the contract from RVTD and doing in-house, us hiring a PIO. I mean, we had two staff person out of that Cave Junction meeting just to make sure that it got out there.
Captured,
And so there was kind of a push to do that, but there's such a need internally that not happening there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like IT's getting smaller.
Especially with web requirements and this upgrade we're going to be going through to make sure each department is getting consistent, accurate information out timely. And the facilities needs, as we're looking at who's moving where and what's going on, there is going to be some other projects we've got to take a close look at.
Like you mentioned earlier, the police move.
Yeah.
IT's going to.
So the next item on our agenda, unless you guys have further questions.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Somewhere here. I'm trying to find it. Sorry. Mining advisory minutes. There's two meetings that was here from last year, June 12th and October 9th. Essentially, the gist of it is there was a push to create a marbled murrelet from threatened to endangered. There was a meeting in Eastern Oregon that Commissioner Hare went out to, and they overturned that ruling. There was also a push to sell some different properties, and the mining advisory asked that one of those properties be not sold by the county, so the potential of that tourism thing that you learned about the other day, Commissioner
Fowler. Yeah, up in Wolf Creek.
Yep, so that was one of those. They want to encourage tourism. Colorado promotes mining tourism. They even have a mining university program out there. So that was the June 12th meeting. The other one... let's see. They recognize Commissioner Hare's contributions. Mineral inventory is still something that they're looking at as far as on the county lands. There was comments to be more specific in previous things about a statement that said the state was making illegal actions. And what does that mean exactly when it comes to mining rights? And there was going to be a hearing in the Ninth Circuit challenging Senate Bill 3. I believe that's the item that's now going to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And so that was kind of just... And a regional fire sale. They had the sale August 24th. They sold 3 of the 6 sales of state forest lands. Let's see. And that looks like the gist of it. Mm-hmm. I can pass these if you guys want to look at more details.
Well, I sure don't. Item 6.
No, we've got.
Item 6C. I don't know if that's.
Which one?
Item 6.
On the June
C
one?
On the June, yes. I think.
Yeah, it's not October. So
yeah.
Must be June.
Moving it from Fish and Wildlife to the Water Resources Board. I find the Water Resources Board be way more restrictive than Fish and Wildlife ever thought of being. As restrictive as Fish and Wildlife is, I don't know if that was a good move or not.
That was California.
Okay, all right. It's under litigation, regulations, and fees.
Well, I can tell you this. Under Fish and Wildlife, California, they're saying no, nothing in any stream because you're killing off fish. Their standpoint is if the water's resource and the fish are moving, we're not harming fish. So they might argue that it's a better thing.
Were you in the room when the water resources lady gave us a deal at AOC?
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Scary. Scary stuff.
Yeah. You came out steaming, if I remember.
I had to go soak my head in Oregon's water just to cool off.
Is there any liaison reports over the weekend? I know we had the chamber banquet, which was nice that it was shorter. It was nice to see that some of the businesses recognized. Any other liaison reports?
I went to the Urban Area Planning Commission last night, and they recommended that a property be approved for 29 home sites out in, off of Hugo Road. And so that will be coming around. That's it.
Yeah, Fair Board has an RFQ out for their master plan.
Request for qualifications.
And they're moving forward on that. We're still, there's two or three different plans out there, but I think they've got four responses back from that, and they were going to bring, the Fair Board said they wanted to bring us five for review, and they only got four, so I think that the time for response on that's over, so we're going to hear four. And that, from what I heard from one of the board members, the four seem, all of them seem very good. So it'll be up to us.
Okay. We had an update on the, we have two things going at the same time, branding and website. I asked John to whittle down the responses to the RFP on the website down to smaller, and he got down to five. And he's got a group reviewing those of high-end users. And so Mike Weber and Ricky Perrin are helping take that list from five to three, and then they'll come back to us as far as the group, and we'll kind of make a recommendation. The branding's the next step. I also met with Colleen Roberts yesterday, commissioner from Jackson County. She would like to update our CWPP to have more language. The push in Jackson County right now, they've passed two resolutions that they shared with us, and I'll share with legal counsel to see if it's something we would like to do as well. But essentially, the push is that they want full suppression. And when a fire season is declared in Oregon, they want full suppression to be what's endorsed on the federal lands. Right now, there is... the policy is naturally occurring fires in U.S. Forest Service and BLM lands will be allowed to burn, and they want that policy changed. So they're also making a legislative change to NACO, National Association of Counties, recommendation. So I want to get that to you guys to see if we want to weigh in. And I will get these shared with you. The two resolutions are basically trying to consider other solutions for wildfires and our issue and position of prevention and suppression kind of stuff. So
can they change that fire policy with administrative action, or does it have to be legislative? I'm talking about changing the federal.
So what we are recommending is a legislative change for NACO. So NACO's position would be to push and advocate for the full suppression. So if we can get NACO on board to support that, then they'll advocate the legislative change at the national level.
But one of the things.
But I'll pass around this resolution so you guys have the copies of what they're proposing, because I'm also going out in March, and this will be one of the things we vote on, and I'll get you a copy. Just want to.
So I think for at least the next 2 years, we got the executive order to work with. It got signed last month. So.
Yeah.
Right. That's, I haven't quite made it through that document, but
I haven't seen the order.
Let me get it to you.
Okay, you got, because I got this thing from you that said, and did you share this with all three commissioners?
I
at first thought it was an all care note, and then I realized you just had an extra pad of paper. So Zinke's order.
That could have been.
Yeah, like it's a public health issue. Wait, this is making me, okay, I got it. So just as far as our stance on, I try to say at the state level that we want ODF or the equivalent agency to be the primary decision maker on fires in our county, because we've had circumstances where ODF has had to make better decisions than the federal agencies, and the federal agencies have made choices to burn private lands ODF is responsible for without ODF's permission. We experienced that in the Klondike fire last year, where they burned through a massive amount in Selma that was,
this is a big deal. It would be a huge change.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure you guys are up to speed, and if we want to follow up with these two, I got to make copies of these two resolutions. It'd be nice if we can have something more. For instance, even an ordinance in our county that says in our county, this is what we're going to,
the U.S. Forest Service is not
in Josephine County, ODF will be the primary, because we pay to ODF, there are accountability or something like that, so... Anyhow, I just wanted you to know that I met with her. I'm going to keep kind of pursuing, and I don't have copies of this yet, but I'll get them both to you.
Are there other counties that would join us with that?
Potentially. I bet Curry would. But right now, Curry, Josephine, and Jackson, the number one fire propensity in state's Merlin.
Right.
And so
we need to seize on that.
But Josephine and Jackson, we're all completely red. I don't know how Merlin gets to be redder than...
Because they don't have a fire district.
Well, that's the only reason. I mean, but fire propensity means fuels to me and the ability to burn.
And vulnerability of the dwellings.
When we go to NACO and we include all the other counties in the whole United States, this is a situation on the West Coast that none of the other ones even understand. You can go back to Alabama and talk about wildfires and go, I don't know what to talk about. Anywhere else east of the Mississippi, they have no clue what we're even talking about. They don't have any federal lands. They have no lands that are other than national parks and things of that sort. But there is no federal land.
That's why we have the Western Interstate Region.
Correct. But why are we thinking NACO is going to go back there?
Because Western Interstate Region is part of NACO, and NACO is the legislative branch. So if WIR in the Western states want something, they need to pull the support of the whole country to get it changed in D.C. So they're asking that we get the support of NACO for what affects us.
Okay. I just didn't know if you would get somebody from the East Coast, because most of our environmentalism stems from the East Coast. They go, sorry, that's our land. It's public land. It belongs to the people of Alabama. It belongs to the people of Tennessee.
And we're asking
Tennessee.
To protect it by full suppression.
Correct. And we don't.
that's right.
I'll just shut up, because I'll never have an answer. So.
But this is a solution, not just to talk about it. That they're presenting. So I'll bring it back.
It's fine. I'm not against it. I'm not against it. I just think it's another. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else we have? Our agenda now says additional matters, subjects from commissioners, and we have Councillor Hicks back because we're having a party.
That's right.
Waiting for it to be over.
All right. So if there's nothing else, we will be adjourned at 12:17.
Thank you.
Done.